The promise of America is being squandered. How are we going to restore our nation back to a sensible, citizen-centric government? Welcome to Reimagine America with Joyce Cordy. Joyce is a businesswoman, not a politician, and she's here to offer pragmatic, possible, and postpartisan solutions for the 21st century. Now, here's your host for Reimagine America, Joyce Cordy.
You know, I'm increasingly convinced that the Democrats have already conceded the 2020 presidential election to Donald Trump, or they intentionally want to throw it. Because why else would they be conducting this utterly nuts nominating process and doing it in public? It is impossible to take this clown show seriously. Welcome to the Reimagine America Radio Hour. I'm a businesswoman, not a politician. I solve problems. I don't make them. But it's really clear to me, and the evidence is right in front of us, that the Democratic National Committee has learned nothing from their previous mistakes. Absolutely nothing. You don't have to take my word for it. James Carville and Rick Wilson have been all over television sounding the alarm, so to speak. Two of the most ruthless political operatives of the 20th and 21st century, one a Democrat, one a Republican, can't both be wrong, can they? Let's start with the obvious, the math. While the political pundits at both Fox and MSNBC may want to proclaim Bernie Sanders the winner of the first in the nation New Hampshire primary, I mean, one where all the votes are counted and one person is equal to one vote. You know, let's get it out of the way. I don't believe in caucuses for exactly that reason. One person equals one vote. I'm a natural born cynic, and that cynicism is informed by years in business where people play for advantage. Individual advantage, advantage within the company, and advantage between companies. And they play. And it isn't always nice. And it isn't always above board. Caucuses, unlike primaries, are so-called ranked choice voting. And on another day, we can talk about why that's not a particularly democratic process. It does, however, produce politically correct, if not small d, democratic results. Peer pressure of caucus voting does not encourage independent thought and analysis. It's more a representation of a mob mentality. But setting that aside and back to the math, what does the math tell us? Well, it tells us a few things. Bernie Sanders won the New Hampshire primary, and I put that one in quotation marks. Because wait a minute, folks. Math is math. Bernie got 26% of the vote in a state that neighbors Vermont. That means that 74% of people who voted, 3 out of 4 of every voter in New Hampshire, voted for someone else. Despite the fact that Sanders has not stopped during the last 5 years campaigning in that state. I don't think there's a person living in New Hampshire who could not recite Bernie Sanders' stump speech by heart. Well, you know what? That 26% is half of the vote he got 4 years ago. Can you say familiarity breeds contempt? And speaking of that, Elizabeth Warren earned less than 6% of the vote in southern New Hampshire, the so-called Boston suburbs, and finished 5th in the overall Massachusetts TV market. She finished 5th. Overall, the two moderates with the least national name ID and the hardest names to pronounce, Buttigieg and Klobuchar, together the two of them claimed 54% of the vote. Somebody at DNC headquarters should take note. and take action. The people who know them best said no, nada, nayet. And yet the media still proclaims Sanders and Warren as the front runners along, you know, I mean, Elizabeth, when 90% of the people who know you the best like you the least, there's a message. Your dog loves you. Your husband trails along dutifully behind you. Beyond that, please do us all a favor. You are done. You are toast. You are finished. Leave with your dignity intact and some reason to believe that maybe, just maybe, you could get reelected in Massachusetts in 4 years. As for Joe Biden, and I say this with all humility and the greatest of sympathy for Joe, and the same warm feelings that so many Americans have about, you know, this longtime American public servant. Please, Barack, pick up the phone, call him, put this man out of his misery, but do it for everybody's sake. Do it soon. And now we move on to yet another debate in Las Vegas with the same cast of characters who both caucus goers and voters have said 75 to 25, no to Bernie Sanders. I don't know about the rest of you, but I just cannot stand to listen to him talk. You know what? I fast forward through him when I listen to a tape debate. He is trite. What he says is untrue. And more than that, it's implausible. And yet the DNC lets it go on and on, election after election. No to Biden. No to Warren. No to Steyer. Why not let the two newcomers who won the majority of the vote Democrats need to win in November, why not let them debate in Las Vegas? Because they represent those voters in the middle, the muddled middle. Let's have an open-ended debate, unscripted, between the former prosecutor and the former McKinsey consultant. It might not change my top line, but it would sure be interesting, and we might learn something. And then there is the Michael Bloomberg element. If the DNC were smart, they would say, come to Las Vegas and show us what you got. Is the DNC afraid people might listen and like what they're hearing? Is the DNC afraid people may stop and think, well, now, here's a septuagenarian, and I have nothing against septuagenarians, who has actually governed effectively, a real self-made billionaire. Why are all the Democratic candidates so busy doing Trump's Oppo research on this guy? Do we really want to offend the person who has committed unlimited money, people, and tools to the party with an incredible backroom, technically capable organization of former Facebook and Google executives and the money to help Democrats nationwide in November? Is this the guy you really want to tick off? But that's the problem, isn't it? It's the party. It's the DNC. It's the entrenched Washington, D.C. based bureaucracy that supports the entrenched state-based bureaucracies. Folks, the DNC and the RNC are just two corporations. They're the same kind of organizations that Democrats like to rail against and tell you how evil they are. The only difference is the product is a candidate and not a car. This crazy primary is about the people who make their living as the party. And the party is so insular that it is willing to concede the 2020 election before it begins with another wildly unpredictable and unplanned and unrehearsed caucus in Nevada next week. Forget that caucuses are basically undemocratic. Forget the influence and manipulation of the Culinary Workers Union. Just focus on the way the results are going to be tabulated. Okay? Nevada made one good decision. They're not going to use that same phone-based application that blew up the Iowa caucuses. No, instead, they're going to use an iPad-based tool that Google engineers have developed in the last 2 weeks. And the way in which they assign delegates is through caucus rank choice voting and a complicated mathematical equation to assign the delegates. That this untested Google app is, you know, on an iPad is going to do the calculations. Unsigned, not on a whiteboard, inside a little pretty black box. It is complicated. It is untested. And the DNC won't even tell the media what percentage of their caucus chair people have had at least limited user training. And I ask you, just you, the general listener, without knowing what I know from years of professional experience about putting systems into production that are supposed to enable a broader systematic process, well, I ask you, with just a little bit of superficial knowledge, like how your phone works, what do you think the chance is that this Nevada caucus is going to go well and be an uncontested, and I put it in quotes, win for someone? I guess I'm going to have egg on my face if it's better than zero, but I'm willing to take that risk. And circling back to where we began, the math. The purpose of all primaries, whether it's a caucus or a primary vote, should be to count the votes, not to manipulate them to get the desired outcome. And I want you to know that these caucus lovers are the very same people who decry the Electoral College as undemocratic. I want you to stop and think about that one for a second. If we learned anything from 2016 and 2020 combined, it is that abandoning the so-called smoke-filled rooms of earlier times did not produce more or better democracy in the good old USA. In fact, it produced less. I'd like to put Carville and Wilson into a room together. This is just a little, experiment. Let's sneak food and strong beverages under the door until the white smoke comes up that signals they've agreed on a nominee. Just for kicks, that would be an interesting process. And we could open the envelope on November 4th and see what their result was compared to what actually happened. Now, all kidding aside, if you're as uncomfortable as I am about this very unserious process, it's time that we, the people, do take back our government by beginning to talk about how we nominate candidates for office. And we need to start that brainstorming soon to turn the tide back in our favor rather than in favor of the two most powerful corporations in the country. And those two powerful corporations are the DNC and the RNC. The RNC doesn't even want to bother to have primaries at all. You know, where there was a primary in independent, headstrong New Hampshire, Bill Weld got almost 10% of the Republican vote. People went out on a freezing cold February day in New Hampshire in the snow, got in their cars, went to the polls, and voted for Bill Weld, knowing for certain he wouldn't win that caucus. And it was a 100% better turnout than had for Weld than had been predicted. So from the Republican side, no primaries might turn out to not be such a good thing come November. I always like to be forewarned. It kind of makes me think I'm forearmed, because anything is possible, even when it's not probable. And we'll be back with some thoughts about this last all-important, because I think it's pretty much over by Super Tuesday, but this all-important debate in Las Vegas, including who shows up.
Thanks for listening to Reimagine America with Joyce Cordy. You can learn more at reimagineamerica.org. Got a comment or an idea for a future show? Email Joyce at reimagineamerica.org or find her on Twitter at Joyce Cordy or at Reimagine Radio. Take a minute now and go to reimagineamerica.org. Join the forum. We'd love to hear your thoughts. If you love the podcast, donate and tell others. You can invite Joyce to speak at your next meeting or conference through reimagineamerica.org. And finally, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast at ricochet.com or c-suitenetwork.com. That's c-suitenetwork.com. Together, we really can reimagine America.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.